This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We'll turn to our week in review in a few minutes, but we want to start today in the South End, where recent police actions have inflamed tensions between residents, activists, and law enforcement. Last Thursday, a Suffolk County House of Corrections officer was assaulted in the South End. Following that event, the Boston police conducted Operation Clean Sweep, which resulted in 34 arrests last Thursday and Friday. The operation continued on Tuesday, and though there were no arrests, photos of a garbage truck crushing a wheelchair have sparked questions about what the police action entailed. Even before this incident, the neighborhood was dealing with rising crime rates. According to the Boston Globe, in the first 8 months of 2019, robberies and aggravated assaults are up 41% in the quarter-mile area around the intersection of Mass Avenue and Malnia Cass Boulevard. Boston Police Commissioner William Gross told reporters yesterday that the witness accounts of wheelchairs being confiscated and destroyed are inaccurate, and police actions are being taken out of context.
There are several abandoned wheelchairs there, and anyone that needs a wheelchair, they're given a wheelchair. Those wheelchairs were covered with feces, blood, and urine, and they were used like a pincushion by discarded needles. They were a hazard. We got them out of the way.
Now, in a few minutes, we'll take your calls at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. But first, we spoke this afternoon with Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins about Operation Clean Sweep and when she found out about it.
I found out about it after the fact, but I have been in contact, as I normally am, with Commissioner Gross. I don't think it was intentional, but I learned of it with the rest of the public.
You've expressed concerns over how police are handling enforcement in the neighborhood. You recently tweeted that homeless people and people suffering from addiction, quote, are not debris. They cannot be swept away, end quote. Can you tell us more of what you meant by that?
Yeah, I think we reacted to an attack that many of your listeners have seen a video of, but there are endless groups of people that find themselves in that area, many of whom are not violent, many of whom have a substance use disorder or a mental health issue, or are homeless. And we've sort of conflated everything into let's sweep everyone into one big group and then miraculously there won't be a problem anymore. And I'm simply saying that I really want us to think about investing resources to get people help instead of just sweeping them down the street into Dudley Square now, right, which is essentially what's happening.
Mayor Walsh told reporters yesterday that there is a public safety issue at play as well, which does create some tension in terms of how you respond. Here's a piece of what he said.
This is an epidemic. Again, I mean, I think we can't have people shooting up on the streets. We can't have that kind of devastation. People praying. We have prostitution that I'm hearing that's happening out there. Young people being prostituted for drugs. We're having drug dealers coming down. They're preying on these folks. We need to do everything we can to keep them safe.
So there are competing needs here. How do you balance the need to protect residents from crime while also looking out for the best interests of those who are homeless or are suffering from addiction? How does that balance come into play?
Yeah, I mean, I just reject the implication that public safety and public health are mutually exclusive, right? And we've had 18, 19, 20 people arrested the first evening, and then there have been any number of additional sweeps, for lack of a better word. The overwhelming majority of the people are not from Boston, and some of the individuals weren't violent at all, right? As of right now, I have personally attended the arraignments of three individuals, one charged with trying to steal the vehicle, and two that were actually involved in the physical altercation with the corrections officer or sheriff. So for me, those are distinct and different groups of people.
One of your keystone reforms hinges on the idea of not prosecuting low-level crimes. Based on what you just said, is there anyone in the list of 34 people who were arrested that you know you don't intend to prosecute?
Yeah, so I want to make sure we are really important with our words, is that in the first instance, my list, we say we're not going to prosecute. We're going to slow things down and look at each person individually. If there are people on that list, Tiziana, who are just coming into contact with the system for the first time and are charged with possession, yes, I am very comfortable and have spoken with the commissioner and the mayor about the fact that I'm not going to be charging them with a crime. I'm going to be seeing whether or not we can get some services for them. They are distinct and very different from individuals that violently attacked or beat somebody outside of their vehicle, and we're going to hold those individuals accountable for the felonies that they may have, they're alleged to have engaged in.
You know, your decline to prosecute policy, it seems like it was intended to discourage exactly this broad type of police action. Is that correct?
Well, here's what I am going to say, is the police are in a position right now where they are the only ones that are receiving the overwhelming number of calls from business owners, from people driving by and witnessing what it is that's happening. And what else are they supposed to do? You know, I mean, I feel like we need to have a lot of other people sitting at the table and involved in coming up with solutions. But we have a lot of work to do. And I just don't think that arresting is going to be the solution. I think we need to have a couple more tools in our tool belt.
D.A. Rollins, Boston Police Commissioner William Gross said that part of the problem is that there aren't adequate facilities to help people who are suffering from addiction. Let's hear a little bit of that.
For every 10 people, there's only one bed. And two-thirds of the people are from outside of Boston. What are we going to do about that? The Boston Police Department isn't the panacea. We're the easy target. When something goes wrong, oh, it's the police fault.
It makes me wonder, based on what you said before, is this another instance where we're relying heavily on the capacity of law enforcement to respond because we don't have the necessary capacity elsewhere to address addiction?
Yeah, but I reject that. We do have the necessary capacity. We just need to start putting resources into getting people treatment and beds.
So you think we have enough beds, we have enough counselors, et cetera?
No, I think we need more resources to go towards beds, right? Like, I open the newspaper and see that we're putting $28 million to refresh Boston Common. You know, obviously that's wonderful and trees and benches are important, but we have human beings that need beds and services. I am not going to vilify Commissioner Gross because he's doing his job, right? Like, they are technically committing crimes when you are possessing and using drugs. I've made it clear that I believe that's a health crisis, and I'm not going to brand them with a record, but we need a lot more people at the table and we need some resources. He's absolutely right. The overwhelming majority of people that are swept up when the police arrest are not from Boston, and we are housing them and we are dealing with all of these issues, right? And I personally, even though Sheriff Tompkins does a wonderful job at the House of Corrections and Nashua Street, South Bay and Nashua Street, I don't believe people should be getting treatment for their substance use disorder or mental health issues inside of a house of corrections. I think they should be at a treatment facility that is exclusively set up for their health issues, not to house them because they've allegedly committed a crime.
So, D.A. Rollins, you just referenced the fact that some of the people arrested and some of the people in question here aren't from Boston. As people learn about its services, come into the city and are in need of services but aren't from Boston, how does the city and the county balance that? And is there a point where the city has to say, we can't do this for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I find that we need to start talking at a Commonwealth level and involve Governor Baker in this conversation, and the mayors or city managers of different towns and cities across the Commonwealth, right? You see what's happening with Quincy and the Long Island Bridge. They don't want these individuals, quote unquote, right, in their community. But Boston can't be the place where everyone comes, uses our resources. You know, we're sweeping them up in these raids, for lack of a better word, and then I'm dealing with them in the court system, and then their towns and cities don't have to in any way get involved in the communication or the discussion about how we're going to solve this problem, or quite frankly, put some money on the table so that we can help get them the treatment that they need. It has to be a broader conversation. The mayor is absolutely right.
I want to come back to this question of law enforcement again for a minute. You know, this action has been titled a sweep, and I found myself thinking about the ICE raids in Mississippi this week, where almost 700 undocumented immigrants were rounded up. That was also called a sweep. And is there something about this approach in terms of the fear and the disruption it causes in vulnerable communities that makes it actively sort of detrimental to the community, regardless of whether the right people end up in custody, or is it an unfortunate side effect of a necessary action?
No, it's really troubling. I look at it and realize that we had National Night Out on Monday the 5th and Tuesday the 6th. And I believe, you know, as I was driving in sort of a motorcade with the mayor and the commissioner and myself and others, there was a different type of motorcade happening up and down Mass Ave and Melnia Cass. And people, you know, on the one side, we're talking about the importance of law enforcement and community having great relationships. That's what the mayor, the commissioner, and I were saying. Out of the same side of our mouths, we are sweeping people up, right? And when you hear about what's happening in Mississippi with ICE, I'm really proud of the fact that we, D.A. Ryan from Middlesex County and myself from Suffolk, as well as the Chelsea Collaborative and the Lawyers for Civil Rights, we're challenging some of ICE's behavior. It's really sad. And words, you know, they called it a sweep as well. And although it's not overwhelmingly immigrants in this circumstance, it's a very similar situation, I believe.
You know, there's a danger sort of in the public discourse on this about conflating homelessness, chronic homelessness, and addiction. We know in the chronic homelessness conversation, you know, if people don't want to go inside, you can't make them go inside. If somebody doesn't want addiction treatment, you can't necessarily force them into addiction treatment. So what do we do as a city for people who are not ready for that next step?
I was fortunate enough to walk with the mayor on the homeless census right after I took office. And you're absolutely right. There are many people that are not interested in going into a shelter, either because they've had a bad experience there or for any other number of reasons. I would add to that, with respect to addiction, mental health issues, which are often underlying many of these pieces. You're right, we cannot force people into recovery. That's why I'm really excited that I'm going to be sitting down with the Boston Users Union, Boston Healthcare for the Homeless. I don't have the answers, Tessiana. Mm-hmm. I don't. I would never try to imply that I did, but I want to make sure we have people that are literally on the ground that are dealing with these issues in the very moment we're discussing them, as experts, to talk to me about what the right solution is. I think we owe it to them. And we owe it to Suffolk County to make sure that it's not just a bunch of people in law enforcement dictating down what we think the answer is. We need to make sure the community, the nonprofit world, and then the very individuals that we're, you know, claiming we want to help, right, are sitting at the table with us coming up with solutions.
There is one more question that's been on my mind about this particular situation this week. When you're a public leader, sometimes you are beholden to more than one constituent. And those constituents may have needs that are actually in conflict with each other. You know, aggravated assaults and other forms of crime are up 41% in the Quarter Mile area, according to the Boston Globe, around there. So when you've got multiple constituents, each one has a need that's a legit need, but their needs are in conflict or tension with each other. So business owners, residents versus people who are experiencing addiction or are living on the streets. How do you, as a public leader, decide whose needs come first?
This is an excellent question, and what I can tell you is that the list of 15 crimes that I said in the first instance we aren't going to be arresting or we aren't going to be asking for incarceration, none of them are violent crimes. None of them, I would argue, are serious crimes. When people are engaged in aggravated assault or are engaged in serious crimes or crimes of violence, they are no longer self-harming. They have turned that into something against the community. Even if, Tessiana, they have substance use disorder issues or mental health issues, when you are engaged in behavior that results in violence, like, for example, the individual that attacked the EMS workers, right, a few weeks back, we will, even with your mental health issues, we will hold you accountable and you're going to have to be removed from the community. You will be removed if you are engaged in that behavior that turns away from self-harm into a violence or an attack or a serious crime in the community. My constituents need to make sure they hear me say that. And I've shown up and done that in the 7 months that I've been here. But it is hard when you have conflating or conflicting interests. But the safety of the community is my number one priority. And if there's violence or serious crime happening, we're always going to look at what keeps the community safe as our number one priority.
That is Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. DA Rollins, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Tessiana.
What do you think? What do you make of the police sweep this week on Mass Ave in Boston? Call us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Stay with us. Our Week in Review is next. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.